Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to deep dive minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I'm Zach, the birthday boy.
It is your birthday. Happy birthday, yeah. Indeed.
Well, it will be when this comes out.
We're close enough.
That's fair. Feeling good, man. I don't even know how old I am. 33, I think.
Something like that. Yeah. Old enough to feel it in your knees.
Oh, that's been happening for years, man.
That's true. You've been 80 since you've been like 17.
So. Oh, yeah.
Longer than that, probably. Yeah. But enough about birthdays. We're talking about something that's on everyone's mind, the heat of Arrakis. The summer right now, and it is hot as fuck outside here in Georgia. I can't imagine being on Arrakis, though. We got to figure out how to stay cool. And how are we going to do that, Zach?
Well, that's with a properly fitted stillsuit, my friend.
Of course. There's no better tool to use than a stillsuit. And we spend this time, you know, We spent last minute, I should say, sorry, kind of getting an understanding of what the stillsuit is and everything. You know, Liat Kynes was doing her, you know, look over of Leto and
fitting them for their Arrakis Halleck's
suits. Yeah. Yeah. Instead of a Canadian tuxedo, it's an Arrakis tuxedo. All right. Hold on. I got to stop for a second, because could you imagine a stillsuit made out of denim?
Oh, God, no. I don't want to imagine that.
That sounds horrible, but at the same time,
just raw denim stillsuit.
There's got to be, like, Fremen rednecks, right?
Maybe.
So, like, it's possible that there could be stillsuits made of denim. Unlikely, but possible.
I don't want to live in that world, man. That sounds awful.
It sounds really icky and scratchy and painful
and heavy, because if you sweat into denim and that stuff gets waterlogged, and I mean it certainly retains water, that's for sure.
As anyone that's ever swam in a river or a lake in the South will attest, those jeans get heavy real fast. Anyways, no, that just popped into my head, and we're going to roll with that.
Okay, cool.
As I was saying, we spent yesterday talking a little bit about the functionality of the stillsuit, and Liat Kynes was, you know, doing her explanation in the movie to Leto and Gurney Halleck, but in reality, it's just a reminder to the audiences of the effectiveness and the functionality of the stillsuit.
Yeah.
In this case here, she then turns to Paul to address his suit. And do you know? Paul knows what he's doing.
Hang on. Before we dive too far in that, I think we left the last episode on a cliffhanger. The last words we saw in yesterday's minute was, inside the mask, you'll find a...
What do they find? Shit, that's right, I forgot.
They find a tube.
It's going to be a scorpion. It's going to be a scorpion in the mask, actually.
It's probably, yeah. No, they find a tube to drink your recycled water. Kynes is explaining to them that, you know, a properly working stillsuit will lose less than a thimble full of water per day. And that's damn efficient.
Yeah. Like I said, living in Atlanta, I'm sure we could all use that here. We've got some friends that live all over the country, in some other desert areas, and I know that they could use that as well.
Like, my office is pretty poorly insulated. I think I lose that a thimbleful of water within like a couple of hours if I'm sweating in my office.
Yeah,
like these days.
Your office is also mostly windows too. It's true. A sunroom. Let's be real.
Yeah, and it is a hot sunroom.
Meanwhile, mine is down in just the cool darkest dungeon. Part of my house to stay nice and cool.
Yeah, so you got a cool dungeon down there. So we miss my favorite line. So before we get to Paul's inspection, we miss my favorite line from the books and the Lynch movie, where urine and feces are processed in the thigh pad.
It's unfortunate.
I know. That would have been... It's a weird line, but it's just such a... it just gives you such a visceral, like, image of how these still suits work.
I guess it just kind of grounds it in reality. Like, hey, you're not taking this off to take a piss. Like, just go.
So that means that everyone in this shot right here who's wearing a still suit, they have tubes. They got tubes going up their butts, dude, right here. And that's just must be crazy uncomfortable.
Gurney Halleck looked at the still suit and was like, absolutely the fuck not.
But bearing that in mind, when Kynes is talking to Paul and says, hey, you did everything right. And he says, did someone help you? He's like, no, just how it was. That's how it made sense. That just means he shoved his own tubes up there.
So many tubes. So many tubes.
Yeah. But yeah, he does. He has done everything correctly with no help. And Kynes looks at him for a second and mutters something in Chakopsa, which we get a nice translation on the screen. It says, he shall know your ways as though born to them.
Yes.
Which is another one of those like vague prophecies implanted by the Bene Gesserit. These are things that you could probably read in a book. Or prior to getting to Arrakis. So while it is impressive that he did it himself, does that mean he's the Messiah? I don't know. Probably not.
No. And in fact, we know that Paul read it in a book because we saw, I think in minute seven, maybe. I don't, it was one of those very, very, very early minutes where we saw the still suit, while Paul was listening to his podcast, as it were, about Arrakis. And he was also reading a book, and we saw the Vitruvian Venus. I can never remember the name. Yeah. The Vitruvian man looking picture of a still suit.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So the still suit itself isn't unfamiliar to Paul.
No, absolutely not. So this is just, again, another one of those like very vague things that the Bene Gesserit have put in here that anyone with a, you know, library card in the galaxy can figure out and, come ingratiate themselves into the Fremen society.
Yeah. Paul then looks at Kynes and then asks, are you Fremen?
Yeah.
And her answer is kind of cheeky, and I love it, where she's just like, I'm accepted in both Siege and Village.
It's a really cool way of saying no, but also yes.
No, but yes, but also no.
Yeah. Kynes wants to maintain some level of like neutrality in this, which is why I think they give that cool, like no, but yes answer. Were to say like, yes, I am a Fremen, that would be like, okay, are you actually impartial to in this whole like change thing or what?
Right. I mean, she is currently under the employ of the Emperor.
Yes.
So she has to be as impartial as possible, even though, spoilers, the Emperor himself is very much not impartial to this change. but, you know, she's doing her best as a mid-level bureaucrat here.
Yeah, yeah. And the response from the book kind of spells that out a little bit more than the movie does. The response from this question, which the question is the same that Paul asks, the response is, I'm accepted in both Siege and Village, young master, but I am in His Majesty's service, the Imperial Planetologist.
Yes, the combination ecologist, geologist, meteorologist.
All the ologists.
All of the ologies.
And when Kynes gives this answer, Leto kind of looks over at her with like a puzzled look on his face. And I thought that was kind of interesting just because it's like, yeah, I can be here, there, everywhere. I mean, yeah, I'm just as much Fremen as I'm not. I don't know if Leto is expecting that.
Yeah, I don't think anyone was expecting the duality, but here we are. Yep. And then she says one of the coolest lines, I think, that she has, where it's just, now come and see the spice sands on which your livelihood depends.
Yeah.
Which to me, I feel like, so immediately before that, she's like, I'm both accepted in Seachin Village. But then this line is almost like a her more Fremen side coming out, where she's just like, I know why you're fucking here. I'm just going to show you.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, fucking just get your fucking spice and get the fuck out.
It's almost like a it's almost like a rhyming phrase with what Stilgar said in the meeting scene earlier when he says, you come to the desert, take your spice and then go home kind of thing. So, yeah, yeah. They're just like they're
we don't want anything to do with you. Just yep. Get your shit and get the fuck out.
Yep. Yep. And there's definitely some attitude in that. Definitely, I mean, some attitude.
I don't. Can you blame them for having the attitude?
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, we'll come to learn a lot more about Kynes and, you know, where her allegiances truly are. So given that knowledge, absolutely not. No, she's like these fucking people. They come and go, and you know, all the stuff that we'll talk about later.
Yeah. Goes back to one of the very first lines in the movie where Chani is like talking about the new oppressors.
Yep. Yep. So
that are coming to Arrakis.
They're not exactly subtle with the way they feel about the Atreides or the Harkonnens or whoever. And you know what? Else. Good for you. You know
what? As a person that doesn't like to beat around the bush, I appreciate this.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So then we cut directly to some sweeping shots of the ornithopters flying out over the desert. And we get to see them like past the shield wall. So we talked about that, the huge mountain range. That's kind of where our minute ends, is after a couple of those real sweeping shots.
Yeah, this is, I guess, the A-team helicopters just, or ornithopters just kind of, you know, going out into the desert for the first time.
Yep. That A-team is trucking out.
Do you think the van's with them?
It's got to be.
Just kind of driving along underneath it's the ornithopters?
It needs to be. It's got to be.
So Mr. T lives on Arrakis. Got it.
Yep. Canonical Dune.
Yep. This is canon now, by the way. I'm going to call Denis Villeneuve immediately after we're recording this and just be like, hey, man.
Got some notes for the third one.
I got some notes for part three. Get Mr. T. Is Mr. T even alive? I don't think he is.
I think so.
Yeah, no, he's alive.
All right. Yeah, I think I would have remembered that. Cool. Any other notes on this one from you?
No, I don't really have anything else for this one. I say it a lot, but it's kind of a short minute in that most of the minute is just them flying over most of the back end of the minute is them just flying their ornithopters over the desert. Those poor, poor heart mollusks, and get to see Paul in his definitely know how to wear it still suit.
Yeah, and just tubes up butts.
Alrighty, well, I think that's going to do it for today's episode. Once again, you can always find us on social media. We are on Instagram at The Dune Minute. We are on Twitter at Dune Minute, and you can email duneminute@gmail.com. Otherwise, we'll be back tomorrow with a Friday episode to close your week out, and we'll see you then.
See ya.